On RN and online, you're with The Rhythm Divine, where spirituality meets music, with Jeff Wood.
In the desert sands of Rajasthan in northwest India, water is precious. So is the camel, the ship of the desert. You need both to survive in this harsh Indian landscape. But music can also be a lifeline, as we'll discover today on The Rhythm Divine with the vibrant folk songs and devotional music of Rajasthan. Filled with gods and goddesses, Sufi mystics and Rajput warriors, lovers and the lonely, these musical traditions have been handed down orally from one generation to the next. But India is modernising rapidly today, and these ancient songs are dying out. Although some are taking notice in unlikely places.
How many of you know of a band called Mumford & Sons? Yeah? Mumford & Sons? Okay. So it just so happens Mumford & Sons have only really collaborated once genuinely in their life, and it was with Rajasthani musicians. Bungar, who's sitting over here with the Kartal, has actually collaborated with Marcus Mumford and Laura Marling. So what was interesting was that here we were, we'd done this collaboration, iTunes was selling an EP with this collaboration, and we got invited to play at the iTunes Festival in London. The only Indian artist to have ever played there, 8 Rajasthani musicians collaborating with Mumford & Sons.
Divya Bhatia is director of the Rajasthan International Folk Festival in Jodhpur, known as Jodhpur Riff, a unique roots music festival set in a 600-year-old fort in Rajasthan's second largest city, once home to the fierce Rajput rulers of this region. Rajasthan, land of the kings, was for centuries a battleground between Hindus and invading Muslim forces under the Mughals. Today, there's a fluid coexistence between the religions and with other groups that really could be a model for the world, reflected in the extraordinary music and the musicians of Rajasthan. Musicians like the Muslim folk communities of the Langa and Manganiyars, whose music you can hear now in a unique collaboration with Australians Bobby Singh and Jeff Lang in the group Maru Tarang from their album Blue City. Divya believes collaborations like these can actually enrich the Rajasthani tradition. And later there's more collaboration when we hear the result of Mumford & Sons and Laura Marling joining the Rajasthani folk collective Duraha Project in Delhi in 2009. But first to Divya Bhatia, my special guest at last year's Woodford Folk Festival in Queensland, in front of a large audience for our annual Woodford Wisdom Talks series. Sitting on stage with Rajasthani folk musicians Asin Langa and Bungam Manganya, Divya was pretty comfortable despite the summer heat, as he explained.
Yeah, the musicians come from the deserts of Rajasthan, where in summer it gets to be 49, 50 degrees, but it's dry, it's not humid. But I actually live in Mumbai, which is right by the sea, and first day at Woodford, I just had to remind myself that I was in Australia and not in India. And I think we've been blessed with some good weather. I've been hearing stories about previous year's Woodford, and I was expecting a lot more rain. I was warned to carry my gumboots and things like that, but it's been wonderful.
Well, let's talk about Rajasthan. It's home to a large variety of religions. How viable is traditional music there today? Is it still a living presence or is it on the margins?
Both, actually. If you go into the villages like where our musicians who are here at Woodford, where they come from, it's contemporary for them. They still live the lives that they sing about. They have songs that still pertain to the ceremonies that they actually participate in and the rituals that they have. And the context of their songs is still alive. One of the main themes of their music is ballads around love, the theme of love and loss. Being a desert state, men folk leave the state and go away for work, and that still happens. So to answer your question in part, it's very much living culture, not just in Rajasthan, but across all the states of India. But at the same time, what we've noticed over the last, I would say, 40, 45 years, is a neglect. While certain parts of India are modernizing rapidly, and there seems to be a sort of attempt to move towards urbanization at a breakneck pace, the result of that is the neglect of really what the rural areas have to offer. And I think what we are seeing over time is the effect of that neglect. So while it's still living culture, governments are more interested in moving India into the 21st century.
So this is one of the challenges for you as a festival director, is to bring this traditional music to a wider audience and also, in the process, keep it alive.
Yeah. One of the first people who started working with Rajasthani folk musicians many, many years ago, he was the one who said, this is the work not of decades, but of generations. We are only 9-10 years in doing what we are doing, so I think we've got a lot of ground to cover. But yeah, it is a challenge because ultimately it's the musicians who keep the traditions alive. It's not the facilitators or the administrators. And unless the musicians of, unless the current crop of musicians and their elders and their youngsters find value and connection and worth in doing what they're doing, they will not want to take it forward. And we've seen that as a concept. That's one of the reasons why the neglect is affecting the number of musicians that exist, because the youngsters don't want to play this music. They see their parents and they realize the parents are sitting at home most of the time, fantastic musicians, but there's no work. So definitely one of the key things we have to do with the festival is impact livelihood. That's very critical. So the festival not just, you know, presents musicians, but we also produce collaborations with artists who understand what it is that we're wanting to do. And Jeff and Bobby, with whom we've been doing this, very clearly understand. So this collaboration is one of our most successful ones. It's been 5 years now.
So this is the collaboration called Maru Tarang.
Yes, Maru Tarang, which has actually been playing at Woodford. We are on again, we were on this morning, and we have a bit of a showcase of that later tonight on this stage. So first is impacting livelihood. The second, which is a little harder to do, is to actually see ways in which we can make the artists feel that there is a future for what they have. And because it's an oral tradition, it's not enough that they get to travel abroad and play for, you know, audiences overseas. It's equally important that they play for audiences at home who can understand what they're saying, because it's an oral repertoire. If they don't really sing songs that actually connect to the people, they lose their repertoire over time. So we also have village festivals, which we do within Rajasthan, where there are no tourists, no foreigners, where the performers actually sing in their own languages. And with that, we also have schools programs to try and get youngsters to get familiar with the music. And the last, which is the hardest, is actually to get their own younger musicians to appreciate what the elders are doing. And the challenge there is you have to understand all folk music in India is low caste. All musicians are low caste in the caste schema of things, or they're Muslims because they converted to Islam to get away from the caste system. So while a musician will be invited onto stage for weddings to play and to perform and people will clap, they're not allowed to eat with the guests, for example. They'll be invited into major hotels to perform for dignitaries from overseas, but they have to come in from the back way. So the bigger challenge that we've had in Rajasthan is really impacting, wanting to valorize them in some way. And that's why the location where we have the festival is the Mehrangarh Fort. The folk musician becomes our royalty. And the patrons of the festival are the Maharaja of Jodhpur and Mick Jagger, you know. So the idea is to try and pitch them in a way for contemporary society as master musicians, which is what they are, and not people identified by caste alone. So it's a long, long answer to your question, but yeah, so those are really the challenges for the festival.
Australian guitarist Jeff Lang and tabla player Bobby Singh, with two leaders in traditional Rajasthani music, the sarangi master and singer Asin Langa, and castle virtuoso Bunga Manganiya. Now, the sarangi is a stringed instrument played upright with a bow, and kartals are two blocks of wood held in the hand like clappers. They call themselves Maru Tarang with Panahari from their album Blue City, one of the names for the city of Jodhpur in Rajasthan. I'm Jeff Wood, and you're with The Rhythm Divine on RN and online, and on Twitter at DJ Radio Divine. Rajasthan is India's largest state by area, roughly the size of Germany. There are eight cultural regions, and each of these has about 10 to 15 different musical traditions, only played by those communities or by those musicians. It's a pretty complex musical and religious landscape. But Divya Bhatia knows it better than most. He's director of the Rajasthan International Folk Festival in Jodhpur, whose international patron is Sir Mick Jagger.
Well, it's very interesting. He loves Indian music. And he's a very, very erudite and articulate man. And he actually enjoys Rajasthani music a lot. Very often on his birthdays and his homes, either in Paris or in London, he'll invite Rajasthani musicians to play for him. Interestingly also, he went to school with the Maharaja of Jodhpur. I remember when I was asked in the beginning, who did we want as an international patron for the festival? I first thought of Bjork, because Bjork comes from a folk tradition and she's made it big first as a folk musician and then, as a more popular one. And the Maharaja, who is considerably older than me, had no clue who Bjork was. And in response, he said, well, what about Mick Jagger? And I was like, okay, he's not a folk musician, but he's definitely musical royalty. So I said, yeah, if we can get Sir Mick, it's wonderful. And a week later, the Maharaja told me, well, Mick's coming. So that's how it was. The harder thing is when Mick writes to us and says, so is there anything I can do? And I say, yeah, maybe Peter Gabriel should come to the festival. And then Mick writes and he says, but you know, he doesn't come alone. There'll be a plane load of people and equipment. And I say, no, we don't want him to perform. We just want him to come and attend. And he says, oh, really? Okay. And we think of someone else. But then we make up. Like, for example, I don't know if people know an artist called Manu Chao. Yeah. So I happened to meet Manu and I was very keen to bring him. So while he's not necessarily folk, and I think it's important to understand how our festival works, us is really about roots, whether roots are on the street or whether roots are in the palace. And I think the energy that someone like Manu Chao brings to not just to music, but to the world is a critical one. And we allow that to participate in the festival. So I remember thinking, how am I going to get Manu Chao to fit into Jodhpur Riff? And I said, well, maybe call him in as a producer because he's done some incredible producing work. So I met him. I had a laptop full of music and videos. And right after he did a gig, he was gracious enough to meet me. We sat in his van and I played music for him for about 2 hours. And he used to hum along in Portuguese, etc. And I said, so what do you think? Do you want to come and produce some Rajasthani musicians? And he said, no, I don't know enough, but I want to play. So I said, that's great, but I can't afford you. And he said, I don't have to earn money, but I don't want to lose any money. So Manu Chao came and played at Riff 2 years ago, the same year that Jeff and Bobby played. So there was Manu Chao playing, Mick Jagger in the audience, and Jeff and Bobby played as well. So it's been quite an interesting ride. So Manu was really all for the festival. He came, spent 5 days at the festival, and he sent me a wonderful little email afterwards saying that I loved your festival. Anytime you're in Barcelona, drop by. So we have a lot of interest from people, and I think what they detect is the integrity and the strength of what we do. And what I've noticed over here, which is very important, attention to detail. I think this festival is incredible for the amount of detail thinking. It's very much an inspiration for me to come.
Spirituality and music. The Rhythm Divine on RN and Radio Australia.
You mentioned that this music is low-caste music in general. The musicians are low-caste, which there's an irony there because the fact that it's low-caste means that it has been largely left alone by modernity, by the modernisation process. If it had been played by, let's say, middle class,
it would have died sooner.
It would have died sooner, wouldn't it?
So yeah,
there is
absolutely
some advantage in
well,
a way.
You can consider, you can say this is the saving grace, that thank God it was with the people who cared about it and not about people who were wanting to just earn money or make it into you know, modernity. It's very hard for them to think purely in isolation anymore. And I keep getting this question thrown at me back in India. Oh, they should leave them pure. Don't have them collaborate with people. They will lose their tradition. And I think collaboration actually enriches their tradition. The collaboration is not about making money. The collaboration is about sharing musical time with people who are incredible musicians who are not interested in them picking up guitars or speaking English. But these musicians are interested in understanding what can they do and how well they do and what their traditions are, which are so alien for them. And that's why it's remarkable for me and very fortuitous and, you know, great to have a musician like Jeff Lang say, yeah, I would like to play with them and then share time. They learn so much from Jeff and Jeff learns so much from them. So I think the collaboration or the move into modernity for traditional musicians has to be with the musicians who care about their tradition. It's not enough just to be a musician in this particular case.
Fusion of Australian roots music and Rajasthani folk music. That's the group Maru Tarang, from their album Blue City, and a Sufi devotional song, Ali Mola, written by the 18th century Sufi poet Bulla Shah, setting out the Sufi desire for a direct experience of the divine. As the song says, no priests, no teachers, it's just you and me. Maru Tarang is Australian guitarist Jeff Lang and tabla player Bobby Singh with sarangi master Asin Langa and kartal player Bunga Manganiya, both of them masters of traditional Rajasthani music, both Muslim, from two of the traditional classes of musicians, the Langas and the Manganiyas. And next week, we'll learn more about these low-caste devotional musicians and their disappearing way of life in 21st century India, when our guest, Divya Bhatia, returns with part two of The Master Musicians of Rajasthan. Hope you can join me. They'll also perform two songs live for us, and we'll hear a new collaboration between Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead and local Rajasthani musicians recorded in Jodhpur, so don't miss that. Divya Bhatia is director of the Rajasthan International Folk Festival held in the spectacular Miranga Fort overlooking Jodhpur. And he was my guest at the Woodford Folk Festival in Queensland last year, part of our Wisdom Talks series held in the Folklorica tent. Just head to the Rhythm Divine website if you'd like to see Divya and our musicians, Asin and Bunga, in their very colourful Rajasthani turbans. And follow me on Twitter at DJ Radio Divine for more photos and some regular updates on all things musical. I'm Jeff Wood, and I hope you've enjoyed travelling to the deserts of northwest India today. And I'll leave you with another recent collaboration, the Rajasthani folk collective Daraha Project, with Mumford & Sons and Laura Marling and Mahendi Rachi from their 2009 India Tour EP. And that's the Rhythm Divine.
Perhaps I'll be a bird one day if I'm good enough, and I'll spread out and fly away and give up all the stars. And I am from a country land where beauty only grows, and though I'd love to leave someday, I dare not ever go. And should you see my sister, stay as small and gold, they will not hear a word you say, they don't believe it's so.